John will open the point.
Okay. Going live. Okay, it is 6:01 p.m. on Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. We'll call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Middleton.
Here.
Bargan.
Here.
Romano.
Here.
Weigel.
Here.
Robinson.
Here.
So glad to see all of you, by the way. Because we have minutes from February that hasn't been able to be approved for a while. So, first up here are the minutes from February 25th. Any changes or corrections? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Jenny, Tad, and Dan approve.
Abstain.
And Leslie and Jennifer abstain. Next up are the minutes from our meeting on March 11th. Were there any changes or corrections to that? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Leslie. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Leslie, Jennifer, Dan approve.
Abstain.
And Tad and Jenny abstain. Thank you. Okay, next up is John Goetz with the annual MS4 report. And that is in your packets.
Well, I just wanted to go over a few things in the annual activities report and give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you might have about the report and what we're doing as far as the stormwater program. One thing that's come up recently is we were contacted by IDEM's stormwater coordinator for MS4s, and we're going to be audited again this year. So they will audit the public education, the public participation, illicit discharge detection elimination, and the municipal operations programs. So I think we're in relatively good shape, but there's a few things that she noted in our last audit that we need to make sure that we followed through on. So we have not scheduled a time for that yet, but that's coming up. We're in the third year of the current MS4 permit, and so the next one, if things go the way they're supposed to, would start in 2026. And IDEM's been considering developing tiers based on population and the type of MS4 entity so that they can make a little allowance for smaller communities as opposed to larger communities and what they might be required to do, just because they recognize that smaller communities don't have the budget and the staff that the larger communities do. So hopefully they'll be able to follow through on that. We have proposed some changes to the stormwater ordinances. We were supposed to have that done in 2024, and we're running a little bit behind on that. In the meantime, the state legislature has passed or is proposed a couple of bills that might affect some of the ordinances. And so I'm not quite sure how those are going to pan out yet. So we'll have to take a look at those and see what they might do.
Is that the no more stringent than?
Yeah, they like that. They like that language, no more stringent than.
Yeah.
There's one House Bill 1037 that would say that any community, not just MS4s, but any community can't have construction stormwater requirements more stringent than the construction stormwater general permit by IDEM. Well, that permit is supposed to change every 5 years, so they're kind of tying that. And the permit, there's a lot of things in the permit that in the construction stormwater general permit that aren't covered. The people that put forward the permit, they think of it as just being erosion and sediment control, but it actually covers all this, all of stormwater. So it's not clear to me anyway if they're saying, well, you know, like we charge a fee for construction stormwater permit review and stuff, and IDEM only charges like $100 for their reviews. Well, are they saying that we can no longer charge our fee?
There's a lot more work that we do on all those construction sites to monitor and stuff.
Yeah, and that was one of the things in the fiscal note on the bill is they said they weren't clear on what that potential fiscal impact would be on the different communities. So it doesn't make much sense, but that's one. Another one is it's passed through committee in both the House and the Senate is Bill 1460. And that one says that communities, local units of government have to put in their storm and their subdivision control ordinance that they're going to use the FEMA floodplain and the NOAA precipitation values to calculate and regulate stormwater. And so I'm not really sure what the floodplain has to do with the calculation of stormwater, but that's going to be, and to my way of thinking, neither one of those things really belongs in the subdivision control ordinance anyway, but so if that passes, I'm not sure how communities will respond to that. But
hey, will you do me a favor? Will you move the microphones under your...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You can just move it to the side or something.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that the video can pick you up. You're good. You're good. Thank you.
Okay. So we did do a water characterization report in 2024. We had to update that. And so I've got that. Would like to post that on the web page. I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
It continues to look like we're seeing some benefit as far as reductions in E. coli from the long-term control plan. So that we'll keep an eye on that, but I'm hopeful that that will continue to be the case. Public education, outreach participation. There's a few things that we could improve in that program just to get some more public education and get the public more involved. We didn't do the First Friday. We went to First Friday in 2022, but we didn't do it, or in 2023, but we didn't do it last year, partly because I had the heart surgery. So maybe we'll try to do something at First Friday again this year. We stepped up a little bit in cooperation with Austin Babb and the pretreatment coordinator on trying to make sure that restaurants were responding to the grease ordinance and doing what they need to do to keep their grease traps maintained, because there's been issues with grease clogs in the sanitary sewers. So it seems like we're getting more cooperation from them as far as them turning in reports about maintenance on the grease traps. So that's been positive.
I know I had had a conversation with our pre-treatment coordinator about that, and there are a couple of areas that he's really trying to kind of pinpoint if you're working through that. So,
illicit discharge detection and elimination. There really aren't too many changes to the to the ordinance for that, so we're in pretty good shape on that. We do need to update our MS4 map, and so hopeful that we can get that done soon. Construction site, stormwater runoff control. I think things have slowed down a little bit, but maybe they're going to pick up again as far as development and projects. So did inspections at 13 sites last year, and we had several of them that were completed and are going to be have filed notice of termination or be terminated from their IDEM permits. And the post-construction program continues to grow. I think we're up to about 17 sites that we're going to be participating in the post-construction inspection program this year. Each site that has a detention basin or some other kind of water quality structure is supposed to do an annual inspection, and so we've been having them do a checklist and return it to us so we can keep on track with that as far as reporting that to IDEM. And then municipal operations, we're in pretty good shape on that. The main thing is that we need to be a little more diligent about documenting the things we're doing as far as operations that help improve stormwater. So, did anybody have any questions about the MSPA report, the stormwater program?
Anybody have any questions?
Just giving you updates, John. We currently reported after we had our meeting with the ordinance changes. So I think Marcia has
that. Okay.
For the stormwater changes? You were
yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, that we were talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
You think we'll be able to have those on the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, if you have any questions about. I tried to kind of explain what my approach and what I was thinking.
I so. Might. There was a couple things, so I might be in touch with you.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay.
I do have one question, John.
Yeah.
How long are you going to stick with us?
Well, yeah, it's kind of a year-by-year decision.
Okay.
So.
So you're committed for at least another year. That's what I hear you say.
Well, yeah, I'm on board until November, so.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. Thank you, John. Appreciate your time. Okay. Next up, Nikki from First Friday Annual Report, which is, I think, Columbia City Connect, right? Columbia City Connect Annual Report. Yeah. Yes. And that should be in front of you. Yes. Okay. Take it away.
Hi, I'm Nikki Keister. I'm the director of Columbia City Connect, our Main Street program here in Columbia City. And I was just wanting to stop by to tell you what we've been up to. We have our 2024 annual report out, and I'm pretty proud of the work that we were able to do in 2024. One of the new initiatives was we did a downtown interior historic tour where we got to go up in the second floors of a lot of the buildings in our downtown. So we got to see renovated ones like Joanne Bird opened up her Airbnb, and we got to go through that. She made sure that nobody got to, she reserved it for us so we could go through all three of the Airbnbs, and that was really nice. We got to see the newly renovated apartments, a couple of them, and then we got to see some that were not renovated, which was neat because I think it spurred a lot of exciting ideas. I know a couple people are like exploring the idea of renovating a second floor, so that was a really fun tour. It was unique. We got to go for a tour inside the courthouse. They had two in there, and then we got to go through the Thomas Marshall House, and the haunted jail gave a not haunted tour. So that was really cool, and it was really different and neat. And then so First Fridays continued, but one exciting thing was we had a BMX stunt show out, and that was really fun. We got to give out 250 helmets to kids, and the stunt guys were really great. They all had helmets, and they talked about how fun bikes are and to get out and play and wear their helmets. So that was a really good time. So that was just a couple of the new things that we did in 2024. In 2025, we are going to host a youth entrepreneurial market called the Launchpad, and it will be during First Fridays. It will be in the Art Alley between the Government Center and Reinhold's Furniture, where students can come and set up a booth for free and sell the things that they've made. So that's going to be exciting. And a steamroller party is happening in September, where we're going to make some art for the steamroller. So that will be fun. And so if you have any questions, thank you for your support, and let me know if you have any questions or comments about
questions of Nikki. Jennifer, I see you bumping
not really
over there.
Not really a question, but just like you guys are doing really great stuff and really adding to the excitement of downtown, and it's really good to see and fun to watch.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your work.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Well, we're going to go ahead and, Pamela, since you're here, do you want to just go now? Instead of waiting for public comment, it'd probably be valuable, I think. So so come on up, and then you can kind of talk to the council about what you're proposing or thinking or wanting them to consider, if you will.
Okay. It's Pamela Tencher. So I live at 202 North Pine Street, which is the big blue house right by the government center. So we were looking into getting a fence, and due to the code is written that it can't be over 3 feet unless it's chain link fence. So based on standards, right now I could put a 4-foot chain link fence in my yard. This would be our front yard or side yard. Unfortunately, that's not going to look the best. I am proposing a iron rod fence. The iron rod fence is visibility. It would be the same as the chain link fence. We are nowhere near the sidewalk. We're about, I think, 12 feet on one side and 15 feet on the other side from the sidewalk at least. So it would not be a visibility issue. I'm looking just in the getting the code changed, because I've talked to other people in town who have fences. Some have chain link fence in their front yard. And the reason they did that is because of the code. I don't feel like, especially with my house, an older home, that chain link is going to look very well. It's not going to be a good selling point. Everyone parks right at my house, right by my house, in front of my house for First Fridays, for the fair, because I'm right at the government center parking lot. So I just don't think that that's what we want Columbia City people looking at, and when they go to Columbia City, is seeing a big silver chain link fence in my yard. I do need 4 feet because I do have dogs who unfortunately are jumpers. I have been measuring where they jump at. 4 feet would be fine. 3 feet, we're just right there at pushing it. So I'm just looking into a change of code, because I'm not sure why we are pushing chain link fence in Columbia City versus an iron rod fence, which looks much nicer. So instead of going the route of getting a variance, I just kind of want to push a change of code for what I think is right.
So for additional context, the Board of Works at the last meeting approved the approved a 4-foot iron rod fence in her side yard, but because of how the property is and where the house is, the side yard is actually the Line Street side of her yard. So she is bordered by Line Street and Jackson Street, okay? So the front yard is actually going to Jackson Street. And because it's the front yard, the code, and Nathan, feel free to correct me if I say anything wrong, the code specifically states right now that individuals can have up to a 3-foot, let's say, regular fence, if you will, but anything above that has to be chain link in the front yard, because you have to have visibility and line of sight. So in talking to Tamala, and I think she has a good point, is that, you know, is... do we have an interest in continuing to have chain link fences in our front yards across the city, or as long as there's some visibility like a iron rod fence of sorts that you can still see through, then does it make sense to include that or have at least some modifications to the actual subdivision code? Now, I'll say this is, keep in mind that when it comes to right-of-ways and things like that, any kind of encroachment into the right-of-way still has to be approved by Board of Works. And we had a sort of an iron rod fence taken that was put up at the southeast corner of Jefferson and Line Street, but that fence was actually not put in the right position, in the right space. Even though the Board of Works had approved a specific location, they did not put it in the specific location, which is why it's no longer there. So I say all that just to say that I told Tamala when we spoke about it, I said, you know, really the council has two options. The first option is to say, go through the variance process and get approval from the BZA on that variance, right? Or the other option is to recommend to the Plan Commission to revisit this ordinance and to consider other materials or types of fences. So that's kind of why I asked her to come tonight to kind of give kind of what the situation was. Ultimately, this is an ordinance issue. It's not an administrative matter from my side. It's an ordinance issue. And so I thought it would be best for her to present that to you. So
I think that makes sense. Yeah. If there's like another option, I don't like the way that a
chain link fence looks.
Yeah, I don't think a chain link fence is what we want to look at.
No.
So.
I brought a picture of a chain link fence.
I have a picture of what it's actually an aluminum, but it is looks a lot like a
iron rod.
Yes.
I think that looks a lot better.
A substantial upgrade over a chain link fence.
And as far as like fitting kind of a historical aesthetic, like that looks like something that might have existed.
Yep. It has more curb appeal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the idea would be is that if, so again, the idea would be that the council would formally or informally suggest to Nathan and to the Planning Commission through your Planning Commission members that that the code be revisited in that regard. And I'll say on top of that, it's the issue is actually already on the next Planning Commission agenda to be discussed, but I think it's helpful for the Planning Commission. Again, I won't speak for Planning Commission members, but I think it would be helpful to have at least a little guidance from the council as to what kind of idea, and it sounds like you kind of already have said that, but I just want to kind of give some additional comments as to why this is here in front of you.
Nathan, do you need like something formalized from us, or...?
Because it's already on the Planning Commission's agenda, consensus, I think, would be sufficient. If it wasn't, I'd say, yeah, you probably should take a formal action. But they're already aware of it.
Yep. Okay. So is it the consensus of the council to recommend to the Planning Commission to make some modifications to what are the appropriate materials for a front yard fencing, or for a fence, if you will? Yes?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Does that give you enough right now, Nathan?
Yes. So it'll be discussed with Planning Commission at their meeting, and we'll figure out where to go from there.
Okay. So Jennifer and Dan and Chip, as the Planning Commission members from the council, I think that probably makes most sense for you guys to be a part of that conversation, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else for us at the moment?
Nope, I think that's it.
There you go. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay,
thank
you. We'll go to department head reports. Gary.
All right, we have three applicants going to the Board of Works interviews on Monday, the 31st of March. I'm excited to get those guys interviewed, and hopefully they come on board to get us full staff. Officer Ewing has been released to solo eval through his FTO process, and he'll be doing that through his probationary period. Sergeant Crabtree is 2024 Drug Recognition Expert of the Year for the state of Indiana, and he was awarded and recognized by the Indiana Criminal Justice Institute.
Awesome.
So great job there. I'm super proud of him, and what a drug recognition expert does is he goes out and traffic stops. He sees people on impaired driving as far as on narcotics or something of that sort. So. And then anytime they think that someone's involved in an accident, maybe on drugs, they call him out. He goes out and does his test, and then he can testify as an expert.
Gotcha.
So
that's awesome.
That helps us. I have filed a victim's assistance affidavit with the Whitley County Prosecutor's Office to replace two tires that were damaged in a pursuit. So we're going to get restitution for that. Tornado sirens. We got two of them that are being assessed because they're having some issues with them, and that's over here on the west side of town. So Wednesday, I think, is their projected date of finding out what's wrong with them and giving us a quote to fix them.
Question of Gary. Thank you. I'm going to jump to Mike Shoda.
We had to move a water main that supplied the new building that school bought down here on Radio Road. It was in the wrong place so that they could not put a storm drain in, so we moved it and had to put a new valve on it also while we were doing it. That took like 3 or 4 days to do because we couldn't get the water shut down.
My water got shut off.
Yeah. Not the first day, though. Also, we've had 2 or 3 lead lines that we've taken out of service and replaced in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Other than that.
Great. Question to Mike. Mike, you're dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chip?
I have nothing to report.
That is not true.
Oh. The trail's coming along very quickly. We had last week a couple issues, just a couple small ones that have been, I think, fixed, and so we should not have any more of those issues. Skate park is moving along very quickly, too. We've been blessed with good March weather. Hopefully it stays good through the rest of some Memorial Day. And other than that, we're getting ready. We closed applications for the community engagement specialist, and so we're going to start going through the applicants and interviewing people. So hopefully by the next meeting we'll have somebody hired for that. So other than that.
I think Shota applied for that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Question to Chip. Thank you.
That would be a good thought. That would be.
Bring them both together. That would be a good idea.
Kelly.
Yes, we've had a guy working on trying to get a CDL license, and he's been working pretty hard on it the last few weeks. Mike also has a guy that's been working on it. But Noah took his driving test today and passed.
Good.
So
congratulations.
That was good. We have two guys that are going to, we thought we were done cutting trees, but I think there's two more on the list.
I want to thank the electric and street department for that, too. Sorry.
So we'll be working on that this week. And then Matt's been needing a little help over at the park, back with the dugouts. He came to me yesterday, and I cut a couple guys loose. Jason and Tony are going to be working over there trying to help with some concrete work. Hopefully we can get that moving along. And then leaf mulch, I think the company's coming in from Ohio the end of this week or the first of next to grind leaves. Starting to get some 50-50 sidewalk applications in. So we got some concrete work out at Eagle Glen, and then 50-50 sidewalks will be coming along. And then just run the sweeper as much as we can right now, getting stuff out of the storm drains.
So. Yep, yep. Questions to Kelly? Thank you. Matt?
Most of the bathrooms will be open. We ran into a problem. The guys, when they winterized it, there was a new guy that did it. He didn't realize to take the whole thing apart before you put it in the water, and so he put the whole mechanism in the water, batteries and the boards and everything. So we're letting all them dry out and making sure that they work. I'm sure we'll have a couple that won't, but that'll prolong the opening up of the bathrooms just a little bit. Like Kelly said, I called him yesterday to come down and look at maybe how he can help do the concrete around the dugouts once they get built up. The mason has been in and finished one dugout. He's on the second one. He was only in for like 3 hours today. So I've got a list of people from Kelly and from Chris Lawson that I'm going to reach out to and see if they can't come in and just get it done, get it all over with. Softball and that is in full swing, and actually we have our first tournament the weekend of the 19th, 17th, 18th, 19th. So we have to try to have those
all
ready to go, all the fields. So, and then our season starts the 28th of April, so we're kind of under the timeline there. So, and then like Chip was saying, the trail's moving along pretty fast.
Question to Matt.
I do have one question. Just because there was a lot of people there last night, how does enrollment look for the softball and baseball teams? Is it up?
We're
last
up this year. We're 546
kids
enrolled in softball, baseball.
Thank
so,
you. Yeah, there were a lot of people there last night, so good turnout.
Yeah, this is the first time in a handful of years that we had softball and baseball at the same night. Normally we do them separate nights. So It was a good move that we had it in the gym and not the Carver Center. We probably wouldn't have fit in there.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. Mike Cook.
I meet tomorrow with the engineer on the Forest Main project, and they've also started restoration on that show today. So I was glad to see that. We'll get that wrapped up. Our CSO operational plan that I've been talking about is in the hands of IDEM under review right now. I have no idea when that's going to come back. Let's say a huge thanks and a kudos to my staff. Last Friday morning, they came in, and the main gate on our Headworks facility, there's underneath, it's an automated valve, and underneath that, it's called a drive nut. And that had stripped out, and the gate was all the way closed.
Mm.
They disassembled everything, put a new drive nut in it, greased it, had it back in operation by 8:22.
Wow.
And that's the first time they have actually done that repair by themselves without somebody knowing what's going on. That they were showed several, probably 8 years ago.
Oh, my God.
On how to do it and hadn't touched it. And less than an hour and a half, it's back up and running.
That's awesome. So,
great group of guys.
What would have happened if they had not fixed it?
We were backing up into the EQ basin,
yep.
And then we would have started discharging there, and
yep.
They had a whole other set of problems.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But no, they're good at what they do. Let's see. I wasn't going to report on the digest, but I got a phone call this afternoon from the project manager on that, and they are having an internal meeting themselves on Thursday. To come up with a plan, dates, and everything like that. So hopefully the next meeting I can have some dates. And
good.
I stressed to her on the importance of that I needed a start date of when they was going to take it off,
mm-hmm.
because everything else just rolls down the line.
Yep.
So
yep.
And she understands that. So I think it's going to work out okay. I had an employee that went today and took state certification exam in Fort Wayne, and he passed. So he will be moving from a class one to a class two.
Awesome.
So that gives everybody has a class 3 license, and that's 2 class 2 operators, and I know one of them's going to go on for a class 3, so I haven't had a class 3 operator.
Very good. And what do you have to have to run the plant? What do you have to run the plant?
3.
Class 3 operator?
Yep.
Okay.
And they start putting UV bulbs in today. They've done the installs on that. And then just real quick, do you want me to do this now, or do you want to wait till...
No, okay. Please do it now.
All right. You've heard me report on... when we picked the forest main for Steel Dynamics, clean the forest main.
Mm-hmm.
So what I brought along, this is a pick. It's just, it's foam, soft, and we have 2 pig launching stations, one at 700 east at the steel mill and one on 300 south. And then my staff will go out there and they have to set up confined space because it is underground in a vault. And they will go in there and they will open that up, prep it, put this on the inside, which this is a transmitter. I'll put that in there, seal this up, which it's not watertight, but the transmitter itself is watertight, put it inside the launching unit, and send it down the force main, and then that gets tracked from the time it starts there until it gets to where it discharges at the next location. The one guy, they'll track that all the way. And if it doesn't, you know, come to the next spot, then they'll have to go back, basically try to find out where it is if it would happen to get stuck. If it does get stuck, we don't dig up the line. We send another pick in. And we've been told that once if you have one to get stuck, you send another pick through, it'll push both of them out. You won't have to worry about it. Rarely do you have to dig a line up.
And so, if the second one gets stuck, you got to send a third one, right?
The second one gets stuck, I'm going home. But no, we've never had an issue, yeah. And they will tumble and they won't stay, you know, in this position all the way through. They'll actually fold over and roll and everything else as they go through there. And when they come out, they look like they were pulled through just a tiny nozzle. Sometimes I see where they have chunks out of them. Typically, we can get 2 uses out of a pig. These that we bought this year, they're about $140 a piece. We have to pay extra because the cavity, they cut that in and install that extra for our transmitter. If we didn't have to have that, they'd be... I think they're right around 100, just under 100. But with the transmitter, it makes them more.
And what do they look like when they, besides being small, do they look, Are they pretty nasty? Or
it
they,
is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be black when it comes out.
That's what I thought.
Kind of a black color. But then there's a cap that goes on the end, and the guys will put a eye bolt on this and then put a short section of rope on it. So that rope also goes through there at the same time. And all that is, it just makes it easier when it comes out that they can grab the rope and pull it out of the catch. And then we take them back to the plant and we'll tie them up off that rope, and then they just drip dry. They'll hose them off and then, you know, just keep hitting them with water, and then they'll just hang dry. And if they're in good enough condition, we'll use them twice. I don't allow them to use them any more than two times.
Sure.
So we buy four of them every year. The steel mill buys them, you know, at the year. They get charged for materials and stuff like that. So, I mean, I say that we buy them, but actually it's in their bill that we send them at the end of the year. So, we try to use them twice unless they're, you know, ripped up and stuff like that, afraid that, you know, because they would get in there and get in an area where there's water or travel around it, then that's when it's going to cause it to get, you know, essentially stuck. But so far,
that's good. Say, yeah. So, yeah.
That's all I have unless you have questions.
Questions of Mike or his pig. Okay. Thanks,
right,
sir.
Yeah.
Much appreciated. I'm afraid to ask, but Tom?
This one has only been used once, and if you want to have it carried around for a sniff test, I'm sure Mike would like.
I did not bring a used one.
Mayor, I've got to tell you, that report thing we sent to you, I didn't realize that if you type too much in one thing, you can't see it.
Oh, okay.
So I will...
Was there more in there that I didn't know?
There was.
Okay.
So I apologize for this, but... Toby's still working on the Sierra Wireless stuff. The one that was on 101, we got back. It was rebuilt from the company, or it was a replacement. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure he said it was a replacement. It has been online for 5 days and dropped once. We were losing connection to the city like every 15 to 20 minutes. So that's a big plus. Now the one on 2 is doing the same thing, so we're probably going to have to go through the same steps, which I'm sure he's looking forward to, because his last conversation... when he was on the phone with Sierra Wireless, he was on the phone with them for 6.5 hours, and he loves it. We're still waiting on the test results for one of our three candidates so that we can start up all three at the same time. Two of them have been sent to state first to get approved. The other one, when we get their medical physical back, we'll send it to the state to get approved and get them going. I think I told you guys last time that we had 4 air packs in for repair. We sent 10 bottles at that time to get hydroed. Those came back, I want to say it was Friday. I'm confident it was Friday. Thursday or Friday that we sent, got those 10 back, and we sent another 10 bottles to get hydroed. Every 5 years, you've got to send them in and have them check to see if they will explode, which is very, you know, makes you feel good. And then I'm trying to remember what else was in there. April 15th, Forge Fire will be here to start the repair on our training facility. Thank goodness. I did make a phone call and kind of urged them along to get us on the schedule. So I have gotten pictures that our replacement canister for the bottom one has been painted and waiting, and they're waiting for the crew to get back from Mississippi to come in and start getting that done. I don't remember what else was on that. I apologize.
Sounds like I missed half of it anyway. So. I said, sounds like I missed half of it anyway. So.
Yeah. Fair. And we have 4 guys, and I think I've been reporting on this as well. We have 4 guys that have been away every Tuesday and Thursday morning getting their certified fire investigators. So it kind of makes our schedule a little tight, but we're getting through it.
Talk about Chris.
Oh, yes. Last Thursday, Chris retired. The mayor is gracious enough. We started a tradition on our department that when guys retire, they will go out of service permanently. And the mayor was in dispatch to receive his OOS. So that was pretty awesome. It's definitely a moment for police and fire to go out of service. Mm.
Question to Tom. Thank you. Marsha?
Nothing.
Rosie?
If you'd use your iPad, you could probably read that.
It's the same thing. I think it's the program.
I don't know.
Spicy. Sean's report, he had said they thought they were down to one tree, but apparently they're not down to one tree left. Stump grinding is hopefully going to begin in maybe 2 weeks or so. They changed out 3 poles, working on a mutual aid ordinance that probably will be on your agenda for the next meeting. That's just to really stipulate when we, you know, in the case where we send individuals to other places, like what that payback feature is for that other community, just to kind of protect ourselves. Plus, FEMA, I think, mandates it in some way, shape, or form. If we still have FEMA, we'll see. It may have gotten doged. So we do have I made doge into a verb. We have now taken possession of fuel keys for the Whitley County Fueling Station. As you may remember, we're moving our departments to start fueling at the county fueling station. The reason for that is because it's a cheaper price, and it gets us out of having to do IDEM reports and stuff for our underground storage tanks. So Sean is working on probably a 3 to 4 months from now is when we'll try to work on getting those tanks out of the ground. We're kind of good to go until November, no matter what, at the moment. But we want to start moving. I think we're going to do maybe move the electronic piece of the keys and stuff for our system, maybe over to the park if we can figure out a way to do that for the mowers and the minor equipment that doesn't need to, you know, go clear out to the county for that, or to the county maintenance facility or the fueling station. So we are working through that. He is getting some quotes to replace some transmission poles. There are some pretty high-dollar estimates that he's hoping to get some better estimates coming in here shortly. And he did say that softball and track for his kids are kind of in full force, so he's going to be a little spotty in attendance, and I've given him that ability. Bid package for the tree truck is complete, and hopefully bring that to the Board of Works next month. Bucket truck that was ordered in January of 24 is expected to be delivered in June of this year. And so I think that's about it from Sean's report. For me, I will be, for the third time in 4 weeks, going down to Indianapolis tomorrow to talk to our legislators some more about stuff, this time on behalf of the Mayors and Commissioners Caucus of Northeast Indiana. We had a meeting today, Rosie and I and Beth had a meeting today with Gibson just to kind of go over where we're at for the health insurance claims for this year. We're in good shape at the moment, knock on wood, compared to last year. So we'll see where that goes. I also met on Monday with Jim Johnson, who is the new Whitley County Council on Aging resident, chairman, CEO, whatever. So they're looking to do some additional things from a senior center standpoint in our community, which is good. This Thursday I will be at some kind of EMA training for like all day. So we'll see how that goes. And then I'm hosting Mayor's Roundtable on Friday for Northern Indiana. Let's see. Anything else I need to let you know about? I can't think of anything else. I am going to ask you, please kindly, if you'll look at your, I say this as a friend, if you're kindly look up in your space, if you can kind of clean up the area of the council table a little bit, that would be great. I'd appreciate that. And besides that, you don't have to do it now. You don't have to do it now. But if you would do that, and again, I just... I am always thankful and reminded of how appreciative I am to have a council that trusts me and Rosie, and just how well we work together as elected officials. A lot of places don't have that luxury, and so I don't want to miss an opportunity to say thank you for working well with me and trusting me in how we lead the city together. So thank you. That's all I got to say. Dan. Jennifer.
Tree board met last week, and they are busy planning Arbor Day activities in April. Also working on something new that will be like a door hanger. Okay. So if you get a city tree
yes.
planted at your house, it'll have some instructions on how to take care of that tree.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully as a way to involve the homeowner and sure. also, like, make sure that our investment in trees is...
Yeah.
Are you going
Stop, Dan. That's not what we want, Dan. Yeah. But your side yard, it's not the city right of way.
We do not need city trees mistreated in any way.
Yes.
Let's not encourage the city.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, thank you. Ted?
I have nothing.
Thank you. Jenny?
I have nothing.
Leslie?
Sewer board, we met last week. Our next meeting will be April 15th. We will have a public hearing and second reading of the ordinance that will impose $100 per day for those that have not connected. Mm. So we'll see how the public hearing goes.
I'm sure that will be lots of fun.
Yep.
Okay. You maybe have already done this, but are you able to continue serving on such board when you transition to your new position?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are able to do that.
Unless somebody else wants to do it.
Well, I do that when I'm coming, but...
I think you're good.
Those would be too big shoes to fill.
I will tell you, Marley went with me to the last meeting, and she's like, oh, it's going to be like council. It was an hour and a half meeting, and she's like, this is
I gotcha. So,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Don, you have anything else to add?
No.
Okay. So we have no press, and so we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.